Blog Talk Radio.
First of all, I would love to thank my audience for joining me in my debut of the Your Pleasure Show. I am grateful for the opportunity to share my passion with you, which is first and foremost, self-love. I hear the tee-hee-heeing out there, but actually self-love is my favorite topic and how it relates to your pleasure. As a professional sensuality consultant, I believe pleasure is a natural outgrowth of our appreciation of the senses. When we apply sensual practices to our sexuality, the relationship transforms into a living art. Our erogenous zones are not a defect in design. We are intended for pleasure. It is our greatest gift. And when we employ these senses wisely within our intimate lives, we are able to experience a physical bliss that is not only part of a biological necessity, but by enjoying it, it is a healthy form of self-love, self-care, and nurturance. And when you can love yourself truly, then you can truly love others. Because of my training, sexual history, and enthusiasm for the topic of sensual sexuality, I've come to understand that lovemaking is a living art. But you can't be a painter without brushes, you can't be a singer unless you have a nice voice, or a lover without creativity. When I call it a living art, you may ask, well, what is art and why is that important? Art is your creativity expressed. Creativity is your essence. We are all creators. Our creativity emanates from our sexual energy. Now, for the purposes of this debut show, I'd like to explain the differences between certain colloquialisms that we as a society bandy about when we are discussing sexual unions. They are actually my cross to bear as a professional sensuality consultant. The first and least admirable is the getting screwed. Everybody knows what it feels like to get screwed. It takes about 10 minutes or less. The intention of one person is to take advantage of the other and to do it as quickly as possible without necessarily hurting them, but without doing anything that would bring the other person pleasure. So that's the technique or the approach to sex that the basic person does who is not adding any kind of Renaissance man to or Renaissance woman to their relations. The second is getting laid. Now, getting laid is not about the time that it takes, because getting screwed takes less than 10 minutes. Now, getting laid can take longer than 10 minutes, but it's more about the lack of presence. One person is very involved with getting off, and the other person's body may be there, but their mind is someplace else completely. Now, if their minds are not both there, it cannot be a meeting of the minds. And since orgasm happens first in the mind as a sexual approach, it's probably not the best choice to experience satisfaction. It is certainly, in my opinion, not a quality sexual exchange. Now, the third one, a lot of people do this, so a lot of people don't really have a problem with it, and it's called having sex. But having sex is more of an obligatory approach to sexual relationship. They've agreed to take care of each other's needs, usually through marriage vows, so they share their physical selves as much as is absolutely necessary, but usually no more than that. Okay? They might have a little kink here and there, but not necessarily. If so, they don't tend to try new things. Creativity, sexual exploration, which I like to call sexploration, growth, fantasy, extended foreplay for 30 minutes or more, none of this is included when you're just having sex. And actually, considering how wonderful the sensual sexuality can be, it really is a very stale approach to sexual relations because it has no creativity at all. And then there's a separate category all to itself. And what makes it different than the aforementioned categories is its intention. And that category is making love. Making love is the highest expression of sexual union that can be shared because of its intention. Making love includes forethought and consideration for the needs of the other person. Making love includes knowledge of your partner and their specifics. We are not all the same. We do not all enjoy the exact same things. What might be exciting to one person can be an absolute annoyance to somebody else. The other point of making love is that it includes care. You actually care about this other person, and that's why you want to share yourself with them and give them pleasure. And making love includes trust. You have to trust that your pleasure is as important to them as it is to you, and vice versa. Wouldn't you rather make love each time you became intimate with another person rather than believe you're going to be used or left unsatisfied? So how do you know if you're making love or just having sex, or worse yet, getting screwed? Well, when you go to give your best, you're making love. When you go to take without giving, that's something else. And that's not a partnership between equals. Essentially, the difference, what's the difference between making love and getting screwed? Love. Love is time well spent with knowledge, care, and consideration for the other. Believe me, no one ever shows up to get screwed. Everyone is looking for love on some level. We're supposed to love people and use things, not use people and love things. This quote is especially important when applied to our sexual lives. Feelings of getting used are the reason so many people don't actually like sex. Because whenever they've allowed themselves to indulge, they've left unsatisfied on some level, whether physically or psychologically. It just didn't do it. They have sex for all the reasons, so they don't really expect satisfaction and consequently don't get satisfied. When you arrive to share joy, pleasure, synergy, which is energy in motion, tenderness, playfulness, and orgasm is inevitable. Why not? There is no other physical union that is more beautiful than that. Whole religions were based on this concept. That was not a mistake. Knowledge is especially important in giving pleasure. We are not all the same in what we enjoy. The only way to know your partner is to communicate with them, and ongoing communication is the absolute necessity because our bodies and our minds are constantly changing. Needs, desires, everything changes. We are not the same person today as we were 10 years ago, nor will we be the same person in 10 years. We need to keep our communication fresh so that we're aware of each other's needs. As a society, we need to come out of the dark ages and stop lumping together the healthy sexual expression of sexuality with its sordid underbelly, as if everything sexual is sinful. Ridiculous. Anything we can experience on this physical plane can be exploited. I am not talking about exploitation when I talk about sexual and sensual pleasure. Every week, I will be talking about the natural attraction of two people for each other, acting responsibly in their actions towards one another, and declaring that in acting responsibly, they are making the highest choice in their sexual union. Never confuse loving sexuality with sexual atrocities. So many people do. So many people lump under one umbrella everything that is sexual and are embarrassed when anything sexual is ever discussed. They think that, you know, because there's sexual activity in rape, incest, and slavery, that this is all has something to do with sex. All of those have nothing to do with the intentions of making love. Those have to do with ownership, violence, and they are all power-based. Just because genitals are involved doesn't make them the same thing. For some, human beings are nothing more than chattel. They are property to be used, bought, and sold. Often, abuse exists. If there is a shameful side to our sexual proclivities, it is these abuses of power, not the loving, giving expression of making love. Making love, once again, is a living art. So as an art, it requires creative imagination and tools. Books are also helpful to hone your skills. I always recommend books, and I have many books that I absolutely love, and during the course of my show, I will offer them as insights to your sensual and sexual journey. So if it is an art, a living art, remember, you can't be a Picasso if you don't own a paintbrush, some paint, and a canvas. So too with the art of love. Tools of what I call the Renaissance lover may include fantasy and lingerie. Now, fantasy is the difference between us and all other forms of animals. So if we're not incorporating our fantasy when we're making love, we're missing out on an awful lot. And lingerie is just to dress it up for the visual, to add to the fantasy. If you're creating a person on stage, a character on stage, and they're wearing absolutely nothing, you can't imagine what kind of character they're playing. But if they put the garb on, it helps you to envision and believe, just for the playtime, just for the foreplay. Our creative ability is really the only major difference between our sexuality and that of all lower forms of animals who also have the drive to procreate. It's just that we can make it fresh, we can make it fun, and if you've been married or an exclusive relationship for many years, sometimes a little jolt in the right direction is all it takes to try a different path, potentially a more creative path. Then we have stimulants. Stimulants such as China Nympho Cream have been around for over 1,000 years. They've withstood the test of time because they work. Now, recently, other products have come out that some of them are just as good. This is, in my opinion, pleasure technology. And if it is natural, if it works on the cause, remember the same things that turned people off and caused them to have their difficult times in arousal or libido. The things that plagued people 2,000 years ago still plague people today because we're pretty much the same kind of body. So to ask and to use and to try something that can kind of push you in the right direction, it's just like using salt on food. You know what would taste better if you put the salt on it. Then there are lovely adult novelties. Now, some people think of novelties and they think rubber chicken and whatever they're thinking. But adult novelties have really come a long way. And there's an awesome vibrating glove out there that is waterproof and that is just heavenly and convenient. And you can just bring it with you anywhere you want to go. And it's just such a good thing to have because it kind of pushes out all the tension from your body. And then, of course, there's always a vibrating sponge, and then there's wonderful pheromone perfumes. All of these things will be discussed in more detail in future shows. Then there are the oral delights. Think about it. So many of our descriptions of eating food are the same as our descriptions of sexual foreplay. Let's see. There's nibbling, licking, sucking, biting. Yes, we are orally fixated. And even if it is your favorite food, if you ate it exclusively 200 times in a row, you'd probably get a little bored. Well, it's the same with fellatio and cunnilingus. Add a little mustard to that hot dog, and you've got a completely different meal. Some grilled onions, perhaps? It's still the same protein, the same person, just a tad dressed up. And that's why the erotica industry is so viable. Add to that the additional sensations that so many of the lickables offer, and pleasure is practically guaranteed. Ancient tools such as Benoit balls and modern inventions such as sex slings and the Liberator pillow are all fantastic devices which help in the creation of different kinds of genital stimulation. And if you want to learn how to have a vaginal orgasm, if you want to learn how to have a blended orgasm, all of those topics are going to be discussed during this show's run. So I hope you'll come back many, many times to hear all the wonderful topics I'm going to be covering. I'm sure all of this sounds very interesting, but I promise you that I'll have entire shows dedicated to how these tools work and how anyone can benefit from them. Now, I see I have a couple of people that want to call, but I'm not taking calls as of yet. If we have a little time at the end of the show, then I will take some calls. But right now, I just have too many things I have to get out for my debut. So hang in there, would you? Then, among some of the toys, again, of the Renaissance lover, Professor, ask them, we are all vibration. It's just that we're very dense energy and vibration, so we can see and relate to one another on this material plane. So if we add a little extra vibration to our natural state of vibration, this adds to the intensity. It just seems to make sense. You have a little vibration and you turn it up and now you have more vibration. Strategically placed, it can be one of the nicest things that we do for one another. I mean, when you have tense shoulders, putting vibration on there is just the nicest thing. And as far as vibration on genitals, well, vibrators have been recommended by sex therapists for women who have never achieved an orgasm or who have difficulty achieving orgasm. It's like the pleasure technology is there, but because of some stigma, people refuse to use it. And that is the most ridiculous thing in the world. It's like, well, you have a vacuum cleaner, you're using that, you don't have any stigma with that, why don't you just use a broom and bust your butt doing it that way? No, you're willing to take that kind of technology in your hands. You should be willing to take any technology that's going to make your life easier. If all of this sounds intriguing, please be assured that every week I'll be talking about pleasure, sensual pleasure, sexual pleasure, and occasionally a combination of both. I will do my best to examine pleasure from as many different angles as possible. And in the things that I am not expert, I will call upon those in the industry. I have tantric goddesses lined up, massage therapists. I have a doctor who knows about orgasm during meditation, or to achieve orgasm through meditation. I can't wait to have her on my show. And body workings through sensual therapists, each to give us a more extensive perspective and appreciation for our pleasure potential. By understanding your unique sensual and sexual needs, you'll be able to make wiser choices in what really makes you feel good, without guilt or shame, and with responsibility, with care, knowledge, with trust, each encounter can be as beautiful as it was intended to be. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about my background, because you might say, well, who the heck is this person and why should I even listen to anything she has to say? In 1981, I began the unique career of sensuality consultant, but it is only recently that I actually created and trademarked that professional name. At gatherings I called pleasure parties, other people called them other things, I called them pleasure parties, I found that most people wanted useful, helpful ideas and a little advice so that they could trust, so that they could have a more satisfying sex life. And I think satisfying sex is one of the greatest gifts, and I love talking about it. As a naturally sensuous woman, this advice flows easily from me. I am not embarrassed talking about pleasure. I believe it is our birthright. Thus, I am very comfortable making recommendations. Since I have enjoyed great sex from the beginning, and I've experimented a whole lot since then, I can easily tap into my extensive personal experiences. It is my joy to explain to others how they can have similar kinds of satisfaction, and it is my goal as well. As a sensuality consultant, I've always made it my policy to test every toy and every lotion before I present them so I can give first-hand advice. It would be unsanitary, unhealthy, and just plain irresponsible of me to use my kit products personally, so I have to purchase my own. That makes my kit, as well as all the toys that I purchase to experiment with, legal tax deductions. No other legal sexual profession can claim that, I am proud to say. I only endorse products I am sure can enhance the customer's personal experience, and I'm sure that all my groupies listening right now will give me an alleluia when they hear that, because that is the most important thing to me. At parties, my guests sample wares, and then they ask questions, and I like to think that I tickle their sensual imaginations in a fun, informative, and discreet atmosphere. That's what I hope to do on this show. When I feature products, although you cannot sample them, I will give you enough of an explanation so you can make an informed decision of whether there's something you'd like to try or not. Every week, I'll share a different topic, a different perspective, in the hopes that I can help you grow as a lover, not only within the realm of your sexuality, but as a lover of life. Because as the great Persian poet Rumi once said over 2,000 years ago, becoming a lover of life and you'll have lived a life worth living. To be a really successful sensuality consultant, I have always prided myself on being able to listen very carefully, paying attention to the unique needs of groups at my parties and individuals at the parties and on this show. I will make specific suggestions, and I can make specific suggestions for individual needs. Whenever a topic is especially meaningful to you, I hope that you will call in to the toll-free number or email me your comment, question, or concern so that I may address it. Pleasure is very important to me. Personally and professionally, I live my life by the golden rule, because I actually care about my customers as if they were my own sisters or my own best friend. I have had the wonderful opportunity to counsel literally thousands of women in the art of making love. When I do my job well, I open their eyes to the possibilities for pleasure. And now it is my joy to open that forum up to the world. You see, and I've said this a million times, so my girls are going to hear it, I truly believe every orgasm is a gift from God. Thanks to our creative imagination, we have the capacity for pleasure that no other creature on earth is capable of. We really shouldn't waste it. Now, I'm always learning, I'm always growing, and school is never out for a growing creative mind. So I recommend that you read as much as you can. Learn from as many different perspectives as possible. From there, pick and choose what works for you. This isn't a competition. This is your pleasure. This is what sounds good for you is something you're going to try, and what doesn't sound good for you is something you're not going to give a second thought. Always make your choices based on love. Love for yourself, love for your partner, love, not from fear. Fear of rejection, fear of ridicule. If you're making a choice from fear, you're making the wrong choice. If you choose love as your foundation and the choices that you make, you cannot go wrong. Now, personally speaking, I am an intuitive person and I am an empath. I use these skills to recommend sexual tips, tools, and techniques. I can help you stir your sexual imagination and awaken your sensual passions. There is nothing more professionally satisfying than to hear that I've helped someone change their life for the better, and all because I cared enough to share, to open up my heart and speak to them on a level that I didn't even know where it came from, but it's exactly what they needed. By empowering others to make positive choices, I can help anyone who wants to grow and develop their sexual confidence. By giving them intimate knowledge as well, anyone can improve their sex life dramatically. Now, being on the cutting edge of all the most exciting erotica has helped me to make my marriage sizzle. Plus, I get to test drive the newest toys with a consultant's discount, so you know I love my job. If you ever thought that you'd like to become a sensuality consultant as a career, my book, Loving Sex, Every Woman's Guide to Sensual Sexuality, which is available at Amazon.com, will help you decide if this is a journey you'd like to take. And you have to remember, as much as you would like to believe that sex sells and sex sells everything, the products do not sell themselves. If you are enthusiastic and your enthusiasm is based on your satisfaction, you can be very, very successful. If you're not enthusiastic, you need to sell something else. Mouthing someone else's spin on products does not gain trust. Believe me, your audience can tell. I believe every woman and man deserves pleasure. If you do too, this could very well be a lucrative career for you. We've just begun a new millennium. Our societal attitudes about pleasure, sexuality, and sensuality are changing one program at a time. I hope to assist in that change on this show. Each week, the Your Pleasure Show will guide and help anyone who wants to hear to move away from fear-based thinking of what can go wrong in our sex lives to embracing pleasure and bliss, both God-given abilities to create a healthful, responsible sex life. I hope you will visit my main website, www.sensualitysexualitypleasureadvice, or just type in yourpleasure.com, and you'll be redirected to my informational pleasure site, where products, both from me and my wonderful affiliates, are just waiting to fulfill your pleasure. Contact me through my website with questions and comments. I would love to hear from you. Now, I can see we only have about 5 minutes left to the show, so I really don't know if we can get a question in, but if we can, please do. Hello? Hello? Is there someone there? Caller is live. Well, I can't hear her, so all I
Hello?
Can hear is an echo of myself. Hi. Hello?
Is this Ellen?
Yes, it is.
Hi. I'm calling to find out. I have a little bit of a problem. I had a hysterectomy, and I have a lot of vaginal dryness,
right.
And I was wondering what products could help me.
There are several wonderful products on the market that I would highly recommend. One is Dr. Wu's Love Oil, and another is Sex Butter, which is just recently coming out. The other thing I want to recommend to you is that you have to do a little self-help. You cannot just rely on a lubricant to do this for you. If you want to reawaken your body and that area in particular to work for you again, you need to start doing your Kegel exercises with a passion. You need to do them because they're that important to you. And you need to get up to 5 minutes a day. When you can actually make your PC muscle work for 5 minutes a day, it's like you're nudging your sexual response out of its sleep, and it will work better for you. Right now, it's like, you know, you weren't really paying attention to it, and then between those hormones and other things that happen to people, you know, menopausally and through operations and everything else, those sometimes it can get dry. But we can help ourselves get a little bit better. Like I said, Dr. Wu has a fantastic oil for masturbating with on the externals of the vagina. It's fantastic. And then there's also the incredible Sex Butter, which has just come out. But I highly, highly recommend that you do your Kegel exercises and do them diligently. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
I do appreciate that. Have a
good
evening.
My pleasure. Thank you for calling. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I want to thank everyone for joining me tonight. I had a fantastic time, and I'm going to look forward to this every Wednesday, as I hope you do too. Good night, all.